Chapter 25. Is our vision occupied with mere things, and all the while we have missed him? The testimony comes. For 40 years I was like a butterfly, flitting first to one and then another spiritual attraction. Once it was a dynamic leader, then an experience, next a movement, and then a message or emphasis of truth. It is true, I learned much in moving about these centers, but all the while I was missing the center. Now, I want to know if there is any way to help others who are going through this same wandering. I see so many who, in their first flush of zeal to fulfill God's purpose, rush into activity and programming. They have seen, but it has been a seeing things only as related to themselves. They see God's purpose for them and how he is related to their calling, but seem unconcerned about God's eternal purpose for himself. It is usually true in initial vision that somehow or other the individual is seeing himself as quite central in the picture. He begins with great zeal to promote his work for God. Then when God seems to withhold his blessing and resources, for he dare not cooperate with things out of line or focus, such individuals become discouraged. They try other programs, other methods, and greater zeal. They have not recognized God's way of bringing them through adjustment into fuller vision, the way by which he will eliminate self from their working. God will patiently, persistently, and painfully dig down into the recesses of self more and more to fully reveal to us just what we are and are not in ourselves. We can tell others about this process, but it will usually fall on deaf ears. There is a divine timing involved. Until they see themselves, their motives, and their fleshly energy as God sees them, they will hardly cease living for other things. In moving unto full stature, 1, the awakened mind, 2, the balanced mind, 3, the discerning mind, 4, the enlightened mind, 5, the garrisoned mind, and 6, the occupied mind. Have you ever been in a relentless search for a church home that would fully satisfy that indefinable hunger in your heart? Finally, you find one. After attending a couple of Sundays, you say, "Bless the Lord, at last this is it. At last I have found a pastor and people where I feel at home. My deep hunger is satisfied." But then, after attending a few months, you are aware that the hunger is still there. Once again, you become restless and start your search for a church that will really satisfy. But you become weary in your wanderings. Is there no answer? In your insatiable hunger for the truth, have you ever discovered some doctrine, some message, or phase of truth, and then said to yourself, "Bless the Lord, this is really it. At last I'm satisfied. Cease your restless wanderings, O my soul." But somehow, after weeks or months went by, this it, which you thought to be all you ever needed, is no longer satisfying. What is the answer? Ever feel dry, barren, and restless in your soul and spirit? Looking and longing for something, but you do not know just what. Maybe that experience that you have heard others tell about is the answer and final end to the insatiable yearning in your innermost breast. So you begin to inquire. It sounds like it, all right. You begin to seek that experience. Others encourage you, saying, "This is it. Keep seeking. Hang on. Trust God. Fast. Let go. Pray more. Give up. Let loose." So somebody cheers you on to that glorious experience. Alas, it happened. That glorious feeling, wonderful blessing, mountaintop experience. You said then to yourself, "This is it. This must be it. I have never felt like this before. This has to be it." But ere long, disillusionment comes again when the experience wanes as the emotions change. Instead of heart rest, there is still that indefinable restlessness. Now, what has been the matter? Why this continued gnawing and recurring search for more? You were sure that each thing was it, all right, but it wasn't him. That was your trouble. Yes, these were blessings, truths, experiences from God, but not God himself. Could the basic cause of this restlessness be that we have a most refined kind of egocentricity, relating everything to ourselves, so that even in our dedication, we are yet seeking to acquire, grasp, and get? The church we seek, the truth we pursue, the experience we enjoy, all become peculiarly ours to be hoarded and added to. Should we not rather be motivated by a divine desire to share, serve, and give? We are created in the likeness of God the Father who gives and shares. This is what God intended us to do, and we can only know rest and satisfaction as we are fulfilling this purpose. Is it not true that our greatest moments of frustration are when we are seeking to get, grasp, and hold? And our greatest moments of satisfaction are when we are giving, sharing, and scattering. Even in spiritual things, to seek to get for ourselves and to relate everything to self will leave us with an awkward sense of incompleteness and gnawing. This gnawing is God's way of reminding man that he has stopped short of the center and has allowed himself or other things to become a pseudo-center. The great religious fallacy of our day is that we seek God for what he can do for me rather than to know him for who he is, the eternal Father. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John 17:3. Let us examine the pathway of most believers as they keep moving from one center to another. It is true, each center appears to be the center, only in a short time to be eclipsed by something else new, which seems even greater. It usually goes like this. After trusting Christ as Lord, it is quite natural that we should become salvation-centered. One thing becomes all-important, getting others saved. But it is not long before we see how others are hindered by the faulty walk of professional Christians. So as to search God's word for more light, we are apt to become separation-centered. That is, we become preoccupied with the cutting off of old world practices, habits, and unwise friendships so as to be more usable and victorious in our walk and witness. As we move on, we will become more conscious of certain doctrines such as baptism, lordship, sanctification, the cross, or the second coming of Christ. You see, beloved, there are numerous things, doctrines, subjects, themes, and teachings. There is the kingdom of God, and there is sanctification. There is eternal life, and there is the victorious life. There is the overcoming life, and the second coming of Christ. These are but a few subjects or themes which have been taken up and developed from the scriptures. Alas, so often they have become mere things, other centers, with which people have become very much occupied. Thus, certain people hive off around a sanctification interpretation, and they become the sanctificationists. It becomes another ism. Others hive off around the interpretation of prophecy, and others are bounded by their hedge of Second Adventism, mode of baptism, or interpretation of church truth. Thus, each group has found some emphasis as their center. Still others will feel their lack of power and anointing in service and will hive off with some experience as their center. Or they will perhaps, without realizing it, become spirit-centered or gift-centered. So every group who would hold their people must envision with their distinctive message. Whether they recognize or admit it, they must have some center as paramount around which to gather and challenge their people. So it has been with every new movement. The founders believe they were raised up by God to recover and emphasize their distinctive message. But the next generation lives in the glory of what they have heard, while the third generation hardly acknowledges or remembers that which was once distinctive, and so seeks to emphasize a more balanced message. As we have pictured in the diagram, how prone we are to move from one center to another. Yes, each new center becomes more involved and gratifying, more enticing and subtle in its captivating us. Even though, for the time we have walked with the Lord, We should have our spiritual senses exercised to become more discerning. Yet we still often allow spiritual leaders to capture our affections and impart their vision so that we become leader centers, or we become so overwhelmed and gripped by the imperative necessity for a message that is indeed ultimate that we unwittingly become message-centered. Now, someone will at once get jittery, thinking that I do not believe in recognizing certain messages, honoring certain leaders whom God may use, or believe in certain crisis experiences or unveiling of truth. Surely there is a proper place for certain genuine experiences, such as salvation, identification, filling of the Spirit, healing, or consecration. But to stop with any one or all of these is to become stalled with another center and miss the center. Anyone who is off center, however little, is still eccentric. And like a revolving wheel which is heavy on one side, he is apt to shake things to pieces wherever he goes. There are some folk like that. This is the problem throughout the church world today. People who have their private emphasis are moving around shaking others who have their own little off-centered emphasis. Now, all of this has been leading us to one thing. If God could have his full way with us, he would take us immediately past all off-centered wandering to the center, which our Father has given, Christ himself. This is not more learning about Christ, but learning Christ. Of all things, to make plain and clear, I have found this point one of the most difficult. It is because the majority have become so preoccupied with mere things that they have missed Christ himself. He himself is the living personal embodiment, the personification of all truth, of all life, and the Lord's purpose and will for us is not to come to know truth in its manifold aspects, but to know the person, the living person, in a living way, and the person being imparted to us, and we being incorporated into the person, all the truth becomes living truth, rather than merely theoretical or technical truth. Here is the real test. When you have been sitting under some ministry, where have you been left? With what are you occupied? What has become central? Is it the person who ministered, or some system of doctrine he taught? Is it some experience we can obtain, or some church form which we should practice? When the Holy Spirit can lead us in his own way, he will always bring us to Christ. He will show us what Christ as a person represents, how he is the way of meeting every situation. We may need sanctification. Is it a doctrine? No, it is not an it at all. It is Christ. He is made unto us sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1:30. If you are in Christ, and if the Holy Spirit is teaching you Christ, then you are knowing all about sanctification. But if he is not, you may have a theory and doctrine of sanctification, even a trip to the altar, but you will have missed him. It will separate you from other Christians, and it will bring any number of Christians into difficulties. Probably the teaching of sanctification is a thing instead of keeping Christ as our sanctification has brought more Christians into difficulty than any other particular doctrine. Now, the Father's intention is to first bring us to Christ as the center, where we live and move and have our being. For when we are truly centered in him, we are also with him, centered in the Father, his purpose and viewpoint. Thus, we can see with enlarged vision and perspective. Is it not sad that so many have followed the wandering course of moving from one center to another before finally arriving at Christ himself as the center? Only from this new center can we appreciate the series of crises through which, as hungry hearts, we have wandered in quest of truth. We see then how each experience or unveiling was not a goal, but an open door through which we passed. No one was the finality. Now, if we had started with Christ under proper teaching of the Holy Spirit instead of following mere tradition and wandering, we could have knowingly surrendered to the purpose of each crisis. We could have kept every experience and unveiling in its proper focus as related to Him. We could have come to the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:13.